Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
So here's what I think God wants to teach us today. Your identity is found in participating in God's image, not performing for yours. Your identity is found in participating in God's image, not performing for yours. Your true identity is found in God's everlasting water, not in your momentary wave, whether it's high or whether it's low right now in this moment. Do you remember the first time someone ever tried to describe God to you? I remember very loving parents I had. I remember the first few conversations they had with me around God. And it went something like this. This is my paraphrase of it. So God is the one, he's the person that created you, David. God is the one that loves you. God is the one that's sitting on a throne. And he's making a list and he's checking it twice. And he's going to find out who's naughty and nice. So here is the picture that I had of God, okay? So this is what God looked like to me, okay? Any of the rest of you, you know, had an image of God somewhat like that. Now, I spent a lot of time trying to draw that this week, so I want you guys to somehow appreciate all of that. But we know this is not true. We know this is not, that's why I believe we all need an OMG experience. A gazillion times a day throughout the world, people are using OMGs, right? Oh my God. And so I thought, what a better thing for all of us to do than to unpack who our God is within us and the implications of it for our lives. Let's start with the first part, right? We see that within our life essence, we have Father God who is for us, okay? So let's just draw up the awakening circle again, and we see the first part of this big I am that is our identity is Father God that's for us. Let me ask you, like, I know we're in church, but can you still be honest with me? Do you actually believe that God, like all of God, is for you? And every day you feel that sense, that energy of God is for you? Or do sometimes have you felt like he's been against you? That's really important. Over in Romans chapter 8, 28 and verse 31, it says, we know that in all things God works for the good. Now, it doesn't say all things are good, but it says, but in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That means that every part of every single day of every single week, that's been happening. This last week, God has been working for your good, has been taking and using all things for your good. It goes on, it says, and if God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for how many? Gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? The scripture teaches that God is actually for all of humanity. No matter what our religion is, what our perspective is, what our life experience and personality has been, we know that God is for everyone. He wants everyone that he's created, he wants everything that he's created to flourish and to thrive and to shine. That's a very different notion than those that have very often felt like that God was against. I mean, you think about over in the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus, he comes right out of the gate, and he says, blessed are the, and the blessed are the, and the blessed, right? And all these blessings just keep coming out of him. A part of what's behind blessing is happy are those who know that God is for them. That's what the word blessed means. It means God is for you, and this should definitely impact your disposition in every part of your life. I love the way it starts off there, that he starts off with those that are poor in spirit, with those that are lacking. And he comes and he blesses, even when it's a mess. That's why it's called grace. So I have this buddy of mine that lives in California. And for the last 3.5 years, he's called me every single week
In fact, he and his wife flew in here the first week after our resignation and just sat through some of those God-awful situations one could ever imagine. And then after that, he called pretty much every single day for almost a year. And up through this last week, he calls every single week. And you know what he does? He gets on the phone, and I know where he's going to go immediately. David, how are you doing? Do you know what a great man you are? I mean, he's like, he's got pom-poms and he's cheering, right? He's going, David, do you realize how much God is going to be thriving in your life and that your best days are in front of you because of the nature and the force of God in you and around you? I mean, there were so many times he'd call me and I was not doing well at all. I had hit the lowest points I ever knew were possible in a human experience. But so often, what God did was God used him to remind me, David, I am for you. Haven't given up on you, not against you. I'm for you in everything. Listen, every time you and I experience that, that is God reminding us that he's for us. Every time you do that for other people, it's a part of your true identity and your true life essence where you're demonstrating that part of God to other people. I'm struck by the fact of how Jesus challenged the conventional wisdom of his day that God was only for some, right? That God was just for the Jews, or for God was actually for a part of just a smaller group of that tribe, and it was the righteous Jews. We see that God is for us in everything around us that God has created. I mean, just today, you and I are going to breathe in and out approximately 20,000 times. We won't ask for a single breath, and yet it's poured out in the most generative way. I mean, all this week, you and I have been absorbing the rays from the sun. We don't even think about it. That's generously poured out and literally is the way that our batteries get recharged physically and emotionally within us. The loving kindness, the generosity you and I have experienced from other people this week, all of what's behind that is the fact that there is Father God and he is for us. That's why Romans chapter 8 says, all of this just confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. We are father and children. That's why we say, what's next, Papa, in it all? Listen, if God is not for you, then it is a scary universe. If God is not for you, that means it's all up to you and it's all up to the other people around us. Now, that proposition is far more frightening to me. But when you and I realize that God is for us, you know what? Actually, at the end of the day, I'm sorry to disappoint you. It doesn't matter whether we have a Democratic or Republican president if God is for us. That is the foundational reality for every one of our lives. Father God for us. He demonstrates it in every moment, the continuous outpouring of his love, his generosity, and his service to us. So this last week, where have you experienced God for you? Where this last week have you demonstrated this to other people by the way you spoke to them, by the way you treated them, to let them know that God is for you? I want to be for everyone. I want to be for everyone all the time, except for those that play against the Dallas Cowboys. So anyway, a few of you should have seen that coming, just right around the bend right there, okay, Phil? So let's look at the second part of this. Not only do we have Father God that is for us, but we have Jesus Christ alongside of us. Here in the second person of the Trinity, we see life essence incarnating itself in life personality. That's why John chapter 1, I love this translation. It says, and the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Referring to Jesus. He comes in and he comes alongside, moves right next door to every single one of us. I love the way most of us cut our teeth on John chapter 14, but I love some of the new thoughts that have come our way in the last couple of years around this. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word way right there, I am the way, I am the blueprint. I am the pattern of all reality. Watch me and you will see what life is going to be like. You're going to be born, you're going to have some great things happen, then you're going to suffer. You're going to die in multiple different ways. But you know what? Death never has the last word, right? And so Jesus shows us the pattern of this reality over and over again. My wife and I, Krum, we've shared countless alongside experiences with each other over the years, for more than 40 years. some alongside experiences that have been absolutely amazing and life-giving. But as you know, we've also shared some alongside experiences that have been awful and painful. I remember one night, just a couple of weeks, and I kind of described part of the scene to you last week, but now I want to add on to that story. I'm balled up around her feet, just wailing because of the failure of my life. And what I didn't tell you last week was, after I did that, she reaches down and she begins to stroke my hair. And she said, "Listen, I've known pain and rejection before. I know pain and rejection right now. But despite what has happened here, I want you to know that you're going to get through this because I'm going to walk alongside you and we're going to walk through this together." Now that marked me. When she did that, that was Jesus Christ in the form of Crone Loveless for me, saying, "I'm walking alongside you. In all the agony and all the ecstasy of life, I am going to be right there." We see this pattern of Jesus trying to show us the fundamental reality for every single one of our lives, that he's going to walk with us through the agony and through the ecstasy, no matter what the life experience is and the life personality. A couple of our grandkids invited us to come to their school fall festival. And we have 8 grandkids. And I know I don't look a day over 42, but we've got 8 grandkids. And so they invite us to this deal. And when we got there, I spotted a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a couple of years by the name of Rocky. And I saw him over there in a distance with his adopted son. And I've loved watching just the evolution, the development within their family over the last few years. And so he's over there playing alongside his son. They're laughing, having a great time. And then all of a sudden, his son gets beamed in the head by a Frisbee, like really hard. And I'm watching this. And his son just goes down to the ground and just begins to shriek and scream, right? And so Rocky reaches over and grabs him, picks him up. And you could tell there was that sense where Rocky was going, "Son, you're going to be okay. I've been beamed in the head before. I know the pain of what you're going through right now. But you know what? In a while, the pain is going to subside and you're going to be all right because I was all right." That is what Jesus Christ does for every one of us every day alongside, whether we're going through the ecstasy of life or whether we're going through the agony of life, where Jesus goes, "Listen, I know it hurts. I know it's as disorienting as all get out, but I've experienced it myself. I've been there, I've done that. And look at where I am now. The same is going to be true for you." Jesus Christ alongside us. And let's look at the last one. The Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit within us. To me, the Holy Spirit, as I continue to understand some parts of his nature, is for me, he's the inner momentum within all of our lives. He's the inner corrective. He's the inner aliveness. He's the inner energy that every single one of us has. It keeps you and I from dying in our wounds. Without Holy Spirit within us, we would surely die within the wounds of life. That's why we know that 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples, your containers of the Spirit of God who's within you?" It's like Pinocchio. We move from being wooden to being real because of his presence within our lives. From death to life, it's always the Holy Spirit's energy within us that's making all that possible. Again, I see that evidenced in Crone all the time. After she was able to process, and we've continued to process all of our pain and my failure and everything, I've watched her become a wounded healer to other people who are wounded. People throughout the city, people around the country, every single week for the last several years. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit within her saying, "Get up." It's the Holy Spirit within her correcting what's been wrong that was done to her, that I did. That's the Holy Spirit's energy and his power that every single one of us has contained within our lives. I mean, we see this in creation. You know, if a forest, burns down, everyone mourns it, and it is sad. But then all of a sudden, over time, if you hang in there long enough, what do we see? We see all of a sudden the ashes rise up and a more gorgeous forest than ever before. There's rebirth that goes on. That's why Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." This is the Holy Spirit's energy. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of God's favor, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve." It just goes on. "To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." That is what the Holy Spirit within us does. It's the Holy Spirit within us that when we fall down, says, "Get up. Get up. You can get up again. You can get up again." It's the Holy Spirit within us. When we experience very painful things in our lives, that is the inner momentum that keeps expanding and giving birth to something brand new within us. Last week, after we got through teaching here, we went over to one of our grandkids' house. He's actually our youngest, and he's Judah, and he just turned 2. And so we were having a birthday party for him over to our son's house, and we were celebrating him all that. Judah, those of you, you've been around 2-year-olds, you know what they're like. He's constantly running into walls, right? He just runs into walls, and then he falls down. And so last Sunday, I had him with me. I picked him up at one point, held him on the couch, and you know, I was playing with him for a few moments, and then someone asked me something. I was kind of distracted, so I let go of him, and he falls over backward onto the floor. Now, of course, his mother blamed all that on me. And now, you know, he begins shrieking and crying. You would think it was the end of the world. But you know what happens? It's one of the many reasons why we love little kids. Within about 60 seconds, he was back up again, waddling around, grinning from ear to ear. What is it that was within him that gave him that capability? It's his life essence. It's the Holy Spirit that was within him saying, "Get up. Get up, get up." This is why you and I love the indomitable hope and curiosity and growth that we see within young kids. It is evidence of the life essence of the very Spirit of the living God that's there within their lives. The Holy Spirit who's within us is continually energizing, transforming, and expanding the life of God within us. OMG. So, what can you do about this? Next time, when you're asked, "So, who's God?" You can just simply say, "Well, actually, this very mysterious, complex, immense relational presence, well, God is the one who is for us. God is the one who is alongside us. And God is the one that's within us." But don't just use this as an explanation, but begin to use it as a part of practicing experiencing his presence for you every day. Each day to go, "God's for me, so where do I see it? Where can I begin to be more aware and identify and go, oh, there you are. Oh, there you are." For you to have an alongside experience, or for you to feel that within you towards someone else that's going through something difficult, and you just move alongside them with some encouraging words, putting your arm around them or saying a prayer for them, for you to stop and go, "Oh, wait a minute, there you are. There you are, that alongside part of you that just kind of came out of me in the moment." And when you feel an energy of any type inwardly, to go, "Oh, there you are. Oh, there you are. Good to see you again. Thanks for the reminder that you're expanding, you're growing, you've impregnated me with something amazing called the kingdom of God that keeps growing and growing and expanding and getting bigger and getting bigger. And it is 3 steps forward, and then there are a couple of steps backward where you and I experience pain and disillusionment and hurt, and then we're able to get back up again, and it's like we further expand and even more momentum happens." That's true in our lives. That's true with everything else that we see. So I want you just to imagine this morning what your family, what this church,
what the world could look like and what would happen if we lived from this place. I'm going to invite the band to come out and join us. And I would like for us to pray a specific prayer together. And it's a prayer I came across recently by a guy that greatly admire him. His name is Richard Rohr. And when I saw this prayer not too long ago, it actually was the seedbed idea for me in this whole message. But I want us to pray this prayer together because I think it'll mean something further for you today in light of what the scripture has shown us. So let me put it up on the screen. And let's all stand together. And then let's say this, breathe this, pray this reflectively together out loud. You ready? Here we go. God for us, we call you Father. God alongside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. You are the eternal mystery that enables, that enfolds, and enlivens all things, even us and even me. Every name falls short of your goodness and greatness. We can only see who you are in what is. We ask for such perfect being as it was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be. Amen. Let it be.